Yeah, so...
So I've been working on generating the fossils.
Traces.
All right, so this is what Artsy expects. You have dir, and then the actual path to every directory, right? That was an example I generated from Oslo. Then you have the files underneath. Okay, so I need to output something like this so that Artsy understands. You see how in file you have to
ask. This is the initial file system.
Yes. And this is what this is what their script takes out when you run it before running the
replayer.
Yeah. Or the thing that the trace recorder.
Okay.
Right.
So this is the initial file system.
Yes.
On top of which Artsy will replay all the system calls.
Yeah, this is what you need to provide Artsy with
and
the traces.
In
order for it to do this thing.
Okay.
So from the
traces. Does it not need the size of each file?
Yes, it's right here.
Oh, it is there.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's in bytes.
Mm-hmm.
Just what we have as well. So I was able. This is what ours looked like. I've been using the inode as the actual file name.
Yeah,
perfect. To simplify things. So you see how I have a bunch of dirs there. When we get to files. So here's the separation between the dirs and the files. You see how the files? Alright, so in each open call, the open call tells me the file path. The path for the open, but it also tells me what inodes are actually directories as well.
Right?
So I'll be using that to get the directories.
Mm.
For files, there's obviously some opens in the trace do not correspond to all reads and writes for files. So the ones that I couldn't get the actual path for, I'm just taking it in the root. So that's why you see a single single thing there.
Okay, that's fine, I guess.
And then the sizes, because we have them.
Except for the ones, you know, like we said, if there is a... There was one exception case.
If later on we find an open that does correspond to that inode.
Yeah.
And it's not a create.
Yeah.
Then we actually have the path.
Yeah.
So yeah, I've done that as well.
Oh, you've taken that into account as well. Oh, nice.
So here's the files. These are the directories. And the sizes. So far this is what I've gotten up to.
It's pretty good.
This is probably, in my opinion, the hardest part.
No. Well, once you have it, then the other remaining thing is to... Well, actually, that's also significant, right? Which is you need to create all the system calls in the format that Artsy has explained.
That there's one big hiccup there.
Which is the return values.
The return values for our calls are not a big deal.
Oh, it's not?
No.
Because you could potentially replay and get the return values. No, you cannot. Well... If Hector is successful in completing his replay, we could extract the return values that he gets and feed it into this.
Yeah. But for our case, for example, here's what I've generated. The traces, I ordered them. So this is what our traces look like, just for easy parsing.
Mm-hmm.
Right. This is the sequence number. I order them just to make sure that everything's ordered.
Because
I need to order them in order to extract the information for the initial processing.
Because, I mean, your sequence numbers... But don't you have sequence numbers in the traces itself?
Yes.
Okay.
So, I make sure, you know, I put them all into something and then order them. And this is the core that's actually executing these.
Okay, so you combine all the cores.
Yeah, I combine everything in order.
Okay.
So, what we're tracing is writes, reads, and maps.
Yeah. Where is the open? So this zero will tell me whether it's a directory or file.
Okay, so for something like this, you have to open in the inode, and then this is the size of the file.
Mm.
And then this is the open flags. This is the open mode. So the only way that I know that an open is referring to a directory is if it's using the old directory flag. I wanted to ask you if there's any more flags for the open calls that would specify that what I'm opening is a directory.
Old direct is not a directory.
It's not?
No. Yeah, but that's what I was wondering, how you got whether you're opening a directory or a file from the open call. Well, because odirect only means bypass the page cache.
Odirectory?
Odirect.
No, I'm talking about odirectory.
Oh, you're talking about odirectory.
Odirectory.
Oh, there is a odirectory flag.
There's not flags, actually.
Oh, yeah, okay. Okay.
So these are all the flags that I managed to pull out.
For open.
For Linux. Also, I success different values, but this is what I'm using. Linux. See how I have.
Oh, it's not. Okay. Yeah. Old directory is different.
Yes.
I see. Okay. So then you would know. And you would know for you.
Out of those, is there any other one that would tell me
whether it's a directory or not?
Yes.
The only way to find out is to look at, well, some of these flags, you know that it's not a directory. O append, for instance.
Right.
O direct, for instance. O large file, for instance.
Well, let me make a list of that, because I need to take that
account. But there are some which we don't know. It's ambiguous whether they could mean a directory or not.
Right. So
O read only could be applied to a directory. Well, it's also possible that depending on how the user wrote code,
mm-hmm.
he used some of these flags which have no effect on directory opens. And it's not wrong, it's
right.
just ignored because it's
there's
a directory.
There's something in here that I just see, they open the directory and then they fsync, and then they close it. That's what I see happening. And sometimes
they
just open a directory and then just close it, and nothing else is done with the inode. So in those cases, I can't really discern if it's a directory or not, so I just say it's a file. But because it's not being used anywhere else in the traces.
The flag is not, doesn't say what directory.
It doesn't tell me.
Hmm. Well, by the way, there are certain calls that we don't drop. For instance, do we have mmap?
Yes.
Okay.
So I want to ask for mmap as well.
Okay. So if you open a file and you do an mmap, you won't see any other accesses to the file because it's directly mapped into memory.
Mm-hmm.
And then you may just see a close after that.
Right. Yeah.
But opening a file and closing it without doing an mmap or a read-write access is kind of weird. It can be done. There's nothing stopping a system from doing that. So, for instance, a badly written code can do an open and then check a condition. If the condition is failed, you close it.
Right.
It may not be badly written code, but I mean, well-written code would check the condition first and then decide to open the file. Right. So, but people can write code in whichever way they want.
Yeah.
So you cannot deduce.
Yeah,
too much from just seeing
right.
a stream of system calls, whether you're doing things correctly or you're reproducing the system behavior correctly.
Right, of course. So, I wanted to ask you about, okay, so mmap will tell me that it's a file, right? It has to be a file.
Mmap has to be a file.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Otherwise, I mean, the other thing is we don't know return values. We didn't know if someone tried to do an mmap on a file and the system call failed.
Right. So about the return values.
Hmm.
Okay, so for our cases, I'm just going to assume that all returns were success.
Hmm.
Okay. So for reads, the returns are what you read, right? The offset or whatever it was. For writes, it's the same thing.
Hmm.
For mmap, it's just 0 or 1, depending on if it was successful or not.
You're probably right.
Okay.
Yeah.
The only, out of those, if sync is just successful as well, update sync, I think it's
some
the
of these
thing.
Are negative one, by the way.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, depending on success, right?
Hmm.
Negative one if they're successful. So I'm assuming they're all successful. Because I can't discern it otherwise.
Yeah.
So the,
well, the one thing which you can discern, for instance, is if you know the name, if you know the size of the file,
mm-hmm.
and the read is for a location that is at an offset greater than the size of the file,
right.
then the read will fail.
Right. If the read was something, okay, yeah, sure.
Beyond the, yeah.
Also, if there's a write on the offset that's greater, it should increase the size of the file. If it wasn't successful, then it didn't increase it at all.
If the offset of the write is beyond the
yes.
size of the file,
well, it's
and not and like appending,
right.
it's not appending
yeah.
and it's like at an offset that doesn't exist.
Right. So let's say they are appending, right? So they're at the same offset as the size of the file. there's a write and it's successful, then it should increase the file size.
Yes.
If not, then it's just successful. So I might...
So you can do some of those improvements, but I think that comes later on. It's in the fine-tuning stage.
So the only one that really matters is the open call.
Mm.
Open to return the file descriptor.
Yes.
But, well, you can assume every open is successful, and then I just...
use the file descriptor.
Right. I use a file descriptor I make up.
Oh, yeah.
So I just say 4, right? And then any other... Open.
You could use a file descriptor that is equal to the inode name.
Okay.
Because then you have uniqueness as well.
Yes. All right, yes.
Except, no, that's not true.
How big can it be?
No, the problem is that two processes can open the same file.
Mm.
And then they need two different file descriptors. So that doesn't solve the problem. You could do, here's the solution. File descriptor is some unique combination of inode and process ID.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
Then you may have uniqueness.
How big can the
file descriptor be? How big is a file descriptor? I think it's an int. Let me see. And reopen. No. And 2. Yeah, so here this guy returns an integer. Yeah,
so it depends on the system, right?
It depends on the system. You can assume it's at least 32 bit.
Yeah, like you said, either prepend the process ID or append to
Okay. So make sure you don't overflow the 32 bits.
Correct, yeah. So the other thing, this is the hard part.
Hmm.
Discerning what thread executed the system call.
I think it's there, right?
We have the process ID.
Yeah.
And we have a core ran the thing, but we don't have the thread ID.
In Linux, a process and thread are equal.
Oh, really? Okay. Makes it a lot easier.
So Linux, when you go into kernel, then for each thread you get a different process ID.
Mm-hmm.
Because kernel maps user level threads to kernel level thread 1:1.
Okay. Right.
So that's one.
We're learning a little bit about that as fast.
Yeah.
We didn't get to the part. Okay, so, alright, never mind. Everything's fine. Yeah, that was the biggest concern of mine.
Yeah. So if you get a process ID inside the kernel, that also will indicate thread ID.
Should I take into account the what processor ran it under?
What processor?
Yeah. So you see how we have this is the process ID. This is the processor that was running the system, the call. We have
Cores. I mean, take into account
do we have to take into account for anything?
For anything. I'm talking about that. Just wondering how we could use that information. We don't have return points, right?
Return points?
If we had return points, then we could use, return times. The system calls just have invocation.
Well, it is done in sequence, right?
Hmm?
We do have the sequence number.
We do have the sequence number because the sequence number is uniquely incremented inside the kernel.
Mm-hmm.
That is shared across all cores.
So if, for example, if 858 is finished, does it have to finish before 859 was run? No. Well,
so because they could be running on two different cores at the same time.
So here you see how all of these are running on the same core?
Yeah. So there you can potentially use the... And some... So there one system call needs to finish before the other system call is executed. So there you would use...
So we do have the execution time. So that would mean that the next instance of the next sequence in the same core.
So I don't know if you got a chance to look at the root paper, they had this idea of resource ordered dependencies. And one of the resources is the thread ID.
Yeah.
So anything that's accessed, any system call accessed by the same thread is sequenced using the thread ID as a resource.
Yeah, what's that mean?
resource-oriented order.
Yeah, and yeah, that's the rule.
Yeah.
Just wondering, because they have stage ordering, sequential ordering, and name ordering. No, that's something.
I think sequential ordering is what it is.
Sequential ordering.
Because a thread dictates a sequence of actions.
Right.
So yes, if it's the same thread, then we can ensure that we need to ensure that one system call issued by the thread is completed before the next system call by the same thread. Although,
what would that tell us?
Although it's not actually, no, that's not true. It's not true because let's say a core did a read and got context switched out. The read didn't complete.
Mm-hmm.
Another thread came in. Another process came in. Use the same core. Right?
Yeah.
So you have to use combination of core and process ID to derive the dependencies.
Right.
So for instance here, if you see any different process ID. So core IDs are all same, but are the process ID changing?
Yeah. You could go up and down. So this is where the core changes, and this is also the process ID changes.
No, this is but that doesn't help.
Yeah,
we want to see situations where the core ID is the same but the process ID is changing. Yeah, right there, the four. Exactly, right up here. These two. Right, the core ID is the same but the process changed. So this close does not need to complete before this write.
Yeah, of course.
Because there is no dependency. But if you have this combination the same, then there is dependency.
Well, we won't, at least I don't, once we transform it into something Archie understands, they handle that.
Yes, they do. Yeah, that's true.
So as long as I put it in their format,
yes, they should be able to handle it.
In our sense, you told me that the PID is the same as the thread ID.
Yeah.
It's all good now, then.
Yeah, excellent.
I just need to verify that
my
listing of the initial file system is correct. So I need to do some tests with a fake file system and make sure that it's happening what I want.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little complicated. I did it in Python, though, so I need to transform it into C.
And you don't have to.
Okay.
You don't have to transform it into C. Python is fine. If at some point we've done many projects where we start with Perl or Python or one of these other languages, and then the thing cannot run any faster.
Right.
We go to C.
Actually, I was running into a little problem. You see how I put everything into a file in sequential order?
Yeah.
That requires me to get all the information from all the different files. That eats up about 3 gigs for 4 files. So I saw some traces where there was like 8 files or 16 files. That might be more than my computer can handle. So.
Well, by the way, we have large memory machines.
Yeah,
can you see if you can log on to poppy.cs.fiu? P-U-P-P-Y.
With which ID? My regular.
Do you have a CS account?
I think they gave me one, but the password isn't valid. I need a call to tell them to.
Do you have a CS account?
H-Checkon, I believe is what they gave me.
At cs.fiu.edu?
I think so. Or is it FIU?
Did you get access to the lab?
No, damn. Because I didn't have my.
Panther ID.
Right. My Panther card when you send the email. So I got it. Remember when I sent the email to request? That's the same day I got it.
Mm.
I haven't bothered him yet. Waiting for the database to get my Panther ID. But I'll try to
right
after this.
Yeah, because that's the new way of access. Now it can only happen through Panther card.
Okay.
I don't think there's any other way for them to give you access to the lab.
Yeah.
We have like a big lock.
Hopefully by now.
Thing. I got to insert that card.
Yeah.
So, what was I saying earlier?
Yeah, what was the place for me to log in?
Poppy. P-U-P-P-Y. Well, first of all, let me make sure the machine is up.
Okay. So, that's CSI for you.
Poppy. Yes.
see.
The machine is not up. Sometimes they rename these machines because this thing has 64 gigs of memory. Or maybe 128. So the, I don't know. This machine is not up. So what is the other machine?
I mean,
so large memory. I'm saying don't try to spend a lot of time trying to fix the memory issue.
Right.
We have large memory machines that will run your code.
Yeah, of course. I mean, the maximum, today we have, 16 core machines here. So that would generate about 16 different files.
Yeah.
That would give me like 12 gigs.
By the way, if you talk to Stephen Lyons in the lab. Just knock on the door and go in. Stephen Lyons, he should be there today. Or Ricardo. Ricardo also would know which machines besides Puppy have large, because they run lots of big simulations which require a lot of memory. And the department has a bunch of them, and you can log into any of them, you can run your stuff.
Yeah.
And instead of and waiting for 1 month for the swap job to complete, you can run it in 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Because the machine has enough memory.
So before I had, just want to verify with you again the flags.
Yeah.
Okay, so, do you know how to use Vim?
Well, I can. So which of these could potentially be directories?
You told me append the file for sure.
Well, read only, write only could be either. Read write could be either. Access mode could be either. Create could be either. Or exclusive.
Well, create could be either. I thought you need to make their system call to be able to make a directory.
Either way,
I don't think
it's okay. Yeah. It's not entirely sure. Truncate should ideally be files if you want the system call to succeed. CTTY, I don't know what that is. Append also again should be file. See, someone has written code here, or commented it out. Comment, written,
that.
Is that you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Non-block should be a file again.
Non-block?
Yeah, it should be file. No delay, end delay. Or direct should be fine. But again, some of these flags could be applied to a directory with no consequence.
Okay.
So that's the concern I have. Large file should be a file.
Should be?
Yeah. I mean, if it were to succeed.
There were some traces in there where, like I said, it was just open and then immediately after it was just a close. And that's what they used, or large file.
Mm.
I think it was a directory.
Was there an MMAP in between?
So
one of the things that you can do is the flags, right? I mean, you can look at what these flags mean by looking at the man page. Right? So here. See, this thing doesn't tell you all the files that you have.
This is the OSX one, so it won't tell you the same thing.
Yeah, then the Linux one. Okay. What is the Linux machine that I have? Linux machine.
Oh, we're like, it's Ocelot.
Ocelot, yeah. Okay. AUL. Ocelot is AUL. A different domain. That's a Linux machine. Okay, so here it is. Append async create. The file doesn't exist, it will be created.
Right.
Yeah, so that's OCreate, right? That's a file. Close on exec. So this could be applied to both files and directories. See something else. Allow files. Oh, large file is allow files whose sizes cannot be represented.
Right, so that was the one I was having trouble with. I couldn't find the numeric value for it. Remember, I had sent Daniel email. Were you in that chain?
Yeah. What did he say?
He told me how to get it to be defined, but I couldn't get it to be defined. So I just went into the FSCNTL file and just looked at the octal value.
Mm-hmm. Did you open that? Yes.
Hello. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Obviously, you're still using it, but I'm here to, at some point, move your computer equipment for the weekend carpet.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead. Let me...
Do you want me to give you another 15 minutes and come back? Or?
Yeah, 15 minutes would be good.
15 is good?
Half an hour would be better.
What would that...
15 minutes.
Let's 15 is good?
Yeah, 15 is good.
I can give you 20. That way we're...
20 is good, too.
Okay. I'll be back at 4:34.
Yes, okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
For a large value, I was able to find the decimal value for it.
Mm-hmm.
He says it gets injected into the into most system calls automatically. He showed me I don't have it up.
Oh, large file?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So there are some directories I believe that do get open with that flag,
mm-hmm.
and then just closed.
If that is the case, I guess you can ignore that flag as non-indicative of anything significant.
So, for example, here we have an open made on this inode. With this is the value of the out large file.
Oh, okay.
And then the next inode that does this usage is just closed. Nothing else after that. So that may be a bug in the code that would be in RAID or something.
Could be normal behavior.
Yeah.
It's just badly written.
Yeah.
Or it's expected behavior, maybe. They don't care how well it is written.
So in this case, I just assume that it's a file.
Because
there's nothing really being done with it.
But is there a file size there?
File size, yes. Even the directories have file sizes.
The directories have... specific file size?
It's 4096.
Okay.
4K. I'm not sure if they all have the same size.
How else do you know that something is a directory? Directory?
The main way I'm taking up directories is the paths being used in the open. Obviously, everything before.
Do you see the OR directory flag? Because you're using that, right?
Yeah. If I see that, then it has to be a
OR directory. If the path name is not a directory, cause the open to fail.
Right.
This flag is Linux specific. To avoid denial of service, if open dir is called. Okay. So yeah, this seems to ensure that that is a directory.
As long as it doesn't fail, which I'm taking to end account. Because of return values. But
that may be just a check then. It may be just a check to see whether the directory exists or not.
Maybe not. And that's telling me all I'm trying to do is generate
this
the
is not,
process.
I mean, if you have open directory, you may not have an OR directory and if path name is not a directory,
right.
But open, so you cannot use OR directory and OR create at the same time. You're right. So make dir has to happen. Before.
Okay.
Second, then, this could just be used for checking if the directory exists or not.
Sure, yeah.
And then it would, you know, what you see here makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Open and close.
Right. Yeah, true. Yeah, makes sense.
Okay, so it's reasonable. I mean, here, the OR directory certainly requires you to have a directory.
Doesn't fail.
And whether you have that directory or not, it's not. You may not have that information.
Right.
So when you see open with a directory, you cannot create that directory in your initial file system.
Okay.
Because you don't create a directory with open. and no directory.
So
how do you create directories?
I just list them for Artsy to create them, right?
Right, so but for a directory that's standalone, which is not part of any other open to a file. Because open to a file, you can create all the directories because you get all the entire
file. That's my main way of...
But if you get an open to
so
just a directory...
Right. So here you see how the open is done. These are all... they have to be directories, right? Now, this is the inode that's been opened, right? That I can't discern, at least not yet, if it's a directory or not. It could be a file. It could be... So what I do
but
is
if
check.
You have an inode, if you do have an inode, that means the directory exists. Otherwise, you won't have an inode. I mean, this is something to ask Daniel.
Okay.
Can you have an inode without a directory existing?
Makes sense. So it must have succeeded, right? If you're doing open with the old directory on inode. Well, maybe you're checking if there's a file.
Do you have any calls where the inode doesn't exist?
Every call is an inode.
Every call is an
all
inode.
Of them, yeah.
I think two questions to ask to Daniel. One is, can you have an open to a file that doesn't exist? And in that case, how is the trace recording that call?
What about when you do an open with all create?
Right,
maybe
that's the second question.
Even those have inodes.
Right.
So,
but I think the inode gets created at the end of that system call, and that probably that's where Daniel captures the inode.
Yeah, it is. All of these are after the implement.
Yeah. So if you have an open,
wait, that brings up something. So the timestamp, does that mean when it was started or when it finished?
When it was started.
Okay.
Because it actually ask that to Daniel as well.
Yeah.
So yeah, because
I see reads that are done with a certain offset, and then you see the next read on that same file say that the it will tell you the offset that changed because the read was successful.
Yeah. Yeah, but that is an interesting clue for us to if there is an inode number, probably means that the file exists.
Mm-hmm.
And if you open the file, likely we succeeded. So this is some of the sort of more correctness related fine tuning that you can do eventually.
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna go ahead and test the.
But I don't know. Maybe Artsy already does that. But for you to be able to create a system call trace for Artsy, you need to have that.
They'll manage the whole creating thing, mounting it, doing everything. Fortunately,
yeah.
That would take a lot longer. And then just transfer all these traces to something they understand. Because they like it verbally, right? They don't like numbers. Like everything being spelled out, even the flags. So I can't just pass on the flag number. I have to specify each flag. That's why I need the numeric values.
Wow.
Okay. Alright. Everything's good. Then if the PID is the third ID, then there's no problem.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure about that. So you have some questions to ask Daniel. Please include me in my questions. So I also know what's going on. Great. By the way, next, when do we get to meet?
Tuesday, you said you're going out of town, right?
Yeah, and I won't be back on Friday either.
Okay.
So we'll have to meet the Tuesday afterwards.
Okay, sure. I mean, I come to school every day, so if you'd like to set up a meeting at a different time, I'll just let you know if I have class.
Next
or not.
Week is completely impossible.
Okay,
so,
no problem.
Yeah. Let's communicate over email.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks. Nice work.
So far, it's good.
It's good. I hope you're liking it.
Yeah. It's fun.
All right.
I'll let you know if anything.
Okay, thank you.